Well, this morning, we are in week number two. Cole got us started off last week with week number one of this series. Today, as we begin, I just want to admit to you, I have a problem. I've got a problem with myself, and I think I've always had the problem because I don't know when this started, and I don't remember a time when I did not feel this way about myself. Deep down, inside, I don't really like myself at all. I want to, I just don't. I just, as I look at me, I see too much wrong with me. That's what I see. If you were here a few years ago, we did a series where we talked about how God has wired us with temperaments. And I just want to describe to you some of the many weaknesses that I have that are glaring to me. These are just some of the reasons I don't like myself. I can be very bossy according to my temperament, and it's true. Very impatient, very quick tempered. I can't relax. I don't give up even when I'm losing an argument. I am inflexible. I come on too strong. I have very little tolerance for mistakes. I can go on and on. I have a tendency. I can use people or situations. I can dominate other people. I can decide for other people. I can come across to others as a know-it-all. I have this feeling that I fight all the time, that I think that I can do something better than someone else who is doing it. I am too independent. I'm possessive. I have trouble saying I'm sorry. I could go on. There's many, many more. And those aren't things that are in my deep past. Those are things I struggle with every single day. I have too many flaws to like myself. Too many inconsistencies. I have too many inadequacies. And I just can't accept that. I just read that I have, you know, trouble accepting something that is not done well. I'm not done well, and I can't accept that. I guess I just can't accept myself. So the truth is, yeah, I have a real problem, and I am the problem. Now, I know the truth is we all blow it in life. Some of you who are more gregarious, it's described in the temperament thing that we talked about as a yellow. Some of your weaknesses, you tend to be a compulsive talker. You exaggerate and elaborate too much, sometimes where it becomes an untruth. You can't remember things. You have trouble remembering things and you don't get things done. You can be too happy for some people. You can be naive and just believe something everyone says and, you know, get taken a lot. Sometimes your voice is extra loud and your laugh is really loud. And some people complain that this person never grows up. They would rather talk than work. And they have a tendency to forget obligations. Then there's the person who's more reserved, and maybe we could just say more laid back and more chill. Sometimes they can be accused of being unenthusiastic. They have a tendency to be fearful or worried. They can be indecisive. They can avoid responsibility. They have trouble setting goals and moving towards goals. Sometimes they often lack self-motivation, hard to get them moving, which they can come across as lazy or careless. Then there's other people who are very organized in their life. Everything has a place, and they want to make sure everything is in that place, and they're very detailed, very organized. They sometimes have a tendency to only remember the negatives or to focus on the negatives. They can be moody and depressed. almost as if, too, that sometimes it's like they're so depressed all the time, they enjoy being hurt. They can be too introspective. They suffer from a lot of guilt feelings because they see all of their faults as well, and they know they can't accept that either. They can only see the faults in other people, and they focus on those. I can go on and on. We all have weaknesses. We all have reasons that we could stop and say, I struggle accepting myself. And if you're like me, then I look at my list and I say, yeah, I struggle accepting myself for good reason. Just look at my list of weaknesses. But I want you to know this. You are here today for a good reason. It is no accident that this day you walked into this room. No accident at all. And this maybe is a big part of why that is. Listen to our verse passage for today. We're going to get started in Romans chapter 5, verse 5. For we know how dearly God loves us. You picked a great day to be here because he does dearly love you. We're going to talk about that today because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. God dearly loves you, even me. And God is going to prove this acceptance that he has of you and me. He's going to prove it, even though we are going to find it difficult to explain how this God could accept someone like me. Oh yeah, he's going to prove it. And in doing so, he's also going to send, as we just read, his Spirit. At some point, he's going to send his Spirit, and it's going to fill your heart and begin filling my heart with the love of God. Next verse. When we were utterly helpless, and as Paul writes these words, 2,000 years ago, he's talking about all of us. You and me, utterly helpless. The Bible calls us, and Paul is referring to this, that we are sinners. Everything that I just read about myself, it comes from some kind of sin in my life. A lot of mine comes from the sin of selfishness. You see, I'm still a sinner to this day. As I stand here right now before you, I am a sinner. I keep on sinning. So do you. And Paul says that makes us helpless. We can't help ourselves. And that's part of why I struggle accepting myself, because I know the reality of my heart. I know the reality of my motivations. I know the reality of my decisions, and that all makes me utterly helpless. I just read from a list of weaknesses. We are all utterly helpless for different reasons, for different sins. So Paul says, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. You see, God the Son came here, not at a random time, at just the right time that was handpicked, selected before time began. God had already selected the time that this would happen. And then it says, and he, this is God the Son, died for us who are sinners. You see, God's love is not merely talked about. God demonstrated his love for each one of us. And in doing so, he offers us this gift, the gift of being accepted by God because of what he did for us. And what a gift. You know, like any gift, in order for us to have that gift, it can be there, but it is not mine until I receive it, until I accept the gift. And if I do, and if you do, if you accept that gift, that is the moment, that exact moment that you accept that gift he offers you, that you receive that gift, that moment is when God's Spirit, according to Scripture, moves into your life, never to leave, and to bring you his love. He begins to fill you and your life with him. He goes on, Paul goes on, verse 7. He says, now most people, so let's pause here and talk about most people. You see, we have love. We'll just call it human love. And at its best, human love might do something ultimately loving and selfless, just maybe. But pray. He goes on. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, even. Though, he said, some might perhaps be willing to die for someone who is especially good. But here's what Paul's saying is, but probably not even then, right? Probably not, and not consistently are we going to love other people like that. Verse 8. But God, two of the most powerful words in all of Scripture, but God. But God showed his great love by sending Christ. This Christ, who is fully God, that means this Christ, Jesus, fully God, makes him completely, perfectly righteous. So, but God showed us his great love by sending Christ, God, perfectly righteous, to die for us who are not righteous at all. We are sinners. And he even says, Bill, by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Before creation, God already planned you. Your parents may not have planned you, but God did. He already knew about you. He already planned you before creation, before the earth was here. And so you already knew you were going to be here. He already knew a life like I did of choose a life of selfishness. You were going to choose a life like I did of serving me and my way over God's way. So before his plan to redeem you, he already knew you were going to need a redeemer. That's why he can write, while we were still sinners after this was written, because it was all planned before the foundation of this world. You see, God is not distant. God is not watching from a distance and then looking at your life and just seeing own, and just leave it up to you to solve the mess of your life. No, 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 no. God takes our redemption personally. God got involved in our lives, our redemption personally, and he displayed that love, that acceptance of you on the cross. He really, really does love us, even though we have lived our lives so often as his enemy. Do you know what the cost was for him to love us like that and to get us back? And it was his idea. Here's what it is. God gave. And he kept giving. You see, God himself took our place. Jesus, God the Son, willingly did that. And here's the plan that he created before the foundations of the earth, before earth was here. He already knew this plan. He was going to leave heaven, and he was going to forever put on the flesh and blood of man. That's God the Son. And he still has on the flesh and blood of man to this day. He was going to leave life because and come to this earth. And he was going to live a sinless life because only God can do that. So God came and did that for us. We could not, so he did. Part of the cost was he was betrayed here on this earth, part of the plan, but it was a cost, a very real cost. He was abandoned by all of his friends. He was tortured. And then he on the cross, God the Son, endured the wrath for sin. God the Father's wrath, God the Son endured it all in our place for all of humanity as he died on that cross. Oh, yeah. Oh, what he has done to accept me. He could not save our own lives. We truly were helpless. And at just the right time, God's timing, Christ came and died for all of us ungodly people, us sinners. We were living as his enemies, and he died for us anyway. You see, Christ didn't die for a good person. Christ died for the person I hate, named Harley, an enemy of God. Oh, my friend, verse 9. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. Paul is saying, if we receive this gift, how do we receive it? By clinging to him alone, by relying upon him alone, his death, his resurrection, clinging to him, his death, his resurrection. Then he takes all of our condemnation in our place. He does that for us. He takes the wrath of God at that time, and we are then saved from future wrath of God. And this should fill your life with floods of joy and gratefulness and gratitude and worship. And if it doesn't, then we are either not saved, or perhaps we have just forgotten how sinful and how helpless we actually were. You see, I deserve to be separated from God for eternity in a real place called hell. I deserve that. But my friends, I am not in hell, and I will never be in hell because I am clinging to and relying upon Christ alone. I am standing in His amazing grace. I am standing in His amazing love. Verse 10. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of His Son, while we were still His enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of His Son. You see, God the Son did die. He put on the flesh and blood of man. God the Son has always existed. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit always has existed. But He didn't have a body until He came to this earth as Jesus. And He did that so He could live the perfect life we could not live. And He did that so He could die for the sins of the entire world as only the perfect sacrifice could. But He did not stay dead. We are saved through the life of His Son, God the Son, who is living today because He walked out of the tomb just like He said He would. 3 days after He died. He said He is still alive at this very moment. He is still alive right now, and He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, God the Father. And do you know what He's doing right now? I can tell you, because we are told in Scripture, He is pleading to God the Father on our behalf. Listen to how Paul says this 3 chapters later in Romans 8. Who then will condemn us? No one. Why won't they condemn us? Because for Christ, Jesus died for us and was raised to life, and He is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Verse 35, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? And He answers that question with a long passage, and I'm going to tell you what the result is. Can anything separate us from Christ's love? And Paul says this, no, nothing, nothing can separate us from Christ's love because of all of this. Back to our passage today, Romans 5, verse 11. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because of our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. You see, we did not work hard and then become a friend of God because we did so well and He's rewarding us. Oh, you did great. You can be my friend. No, 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 no. Jesus had to do it for us. He made us friends of God. Christ died for us. Christ lives for us. Christ is coming again for us. Hallelujah. What a Savior. And I want you to know, this is my story. My story says I was an enemy of God. In my actions, what I did, in my attitudes, and I was an enemy of God in my behaviors. I deserved to be separated from Him forever in a real place called hell. But God, He accepted me. And He stood in my place, and He took all the condemnation that belonged to me. He took it upon Himself. What amazing love He has. All I can say is thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Because of you, Jesus, I am forgiven. I can be forgiven because, Jesus, you were forsaken. And Jesus, you accepted me. And the only reason you can accept me is because you offered to allow yourself, Jesus, to be condemned. And now at this moment, I stand here alive and well. And I can say, Jesus, your spirit is within me because you died and rose again to make it happen. And Jesus, you are the king of this world, the king of your creation. And the thought of that you, Jesus, the king, would die for someone like me, would accept someone who cannot accept himself, would love someone who has yet to figure out how to love himself. And this is my story. This is my song. And that is what I will sing for the rest of my life all day long. And it is praising you, Jesus, my Savior, all day long. I don't know if you have submitted your life to the care and the control of this Jesus, but he died for you in your place to make it happen. And all you have to do is submit your life to him. And while those arms are open, he places that gift in your hands that he paid for on the cross and that he earned as he walked out of the tomb alive. And he places that gift of acceptance and love in your hands, in your life. Are you ready to receive it? If you've never submitted your life to his care and control, I'm going to pray as we move into a time of worship. And my prayer, I call it a me too prayer. You just simply say, God, that is me too. What Harley is saying, if this is what your heart is saying, you say, God, that's what my heart is saying. This is me too. And some of you need to pray this prayer for the very first time and say, God, I want you to be my Savior. I want to submit my life to your care and control because of what you did for me as you died on the cross and you walked out of the tomb alive. Some of you have done that in the past. And if your heart meant it then, he has never left you. Even though at some point you may have begun to live like his enemy again. And for some of you, you just simply need to say, God, I know you didn't leave me. I know you saved me. But God, I left your path. And I need to repent. I need to turn from that and turn fully to you and chase after you once again. And for some of you, that begins right here and right now. Someone already told me today, this is my home. This is my first time here today, but I'm going to be back. This is now my home where I'm going to chase after Jesus. I don't know your story. I don't even know her story. But she's got one. And you've got one, and I've got one. But maybe your prayer just simply needs to say, I'm going, Jesus, I've got to come back to you. I've got to begin chasing after you again. I'm going to pray whatever your heart is saying. Say, God, that if this is what I'm praying, yes, that's me too. And then we're going to sing together and we're going to praise and worship this amazing God who loves you so much, who has accepted you even when you were his enemy. Let's pray. God, for many of us this morning, we can say, this is my story. Some of us at this very moment, our story is beginning now as we are saying to you, I have never submitted my life to you, but I'm doing it now. Because of what you did for me on the cross, and you walked out of that tomb alive, I'm trusting you with my life. You accepted me even when I was your enemy. And I offer you my life right now. Take it. It's yours. I'm going to follow you. And God, we have others this morning who have already done that. But this morning, there's something in their heart, and it is your spirit that is saying, come back to the Father. Chase after Jesus again. And that's what I need to do because I have drifted. I have gone my own way once again. But God, I'm repenting. I'm admitting that was wrong. That was me. And I am asking your forgiveness. And I am pursuing you today, tomorrow. Father, thank you for your amazing love. Thank you for your acceptance. Thank you that you are not rejecting us and sending us away. All who submit their lives to you and your control and your care, you will never let go. Thank you, Jesus. It's in the name of Jesus we pray these things.